Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. Boy, that is some jingle. Can I get that for my ringtone?
Absolutely. We've got people calling up and down wanting compositions for weddings and bar mitzvahs and funerals. And it's funny, I'm paying all this money for my son to go to college, liberal arts school, and it seems all he wants to do is to write music. I wonder if Beethoven was like that.
I'm sure his parents complained just as much.
Right. This week's abstract is an interesting one. I don't think there's a listener who hasn't had to deal with the acute abdomen, and clearly the differential of acute abdomen differs based on whether it's a male or a female, whether it's a young person or an older person. Occasionally, we're left with the fact that something severe might be going on, and we need some sort of an imaging study to help us figure that out. This week's abstract, published in the British Medical Journal, asks a very interesting clinical question, and that is, in patients with non-traumatic acute abdominal pain, what is the best strategy for detecting urgent conditions? Mark, what did the authors find?
Well, this was a study in the BMJ, and they had 1,000 emergency department patients who came in with non-traumatic abdominal pain, and they'd all had pain for at least 2 hours, but no more than 5 days. They excluded pregnant women. They excluded anybody in hemorrhagic shock or anybody with a ruptured aortic aneurysm. And the final diagnosis of an urgent condition, which was defined pretty broadly, including diverticulitis, bowel obstruction, appendicitis, those kind of things, was present in about 65% of patients. So pretty high. About two-thirds had something significant going on in their belly. After they took a careful history and performed a structured physical exam and did a standard set of lab studies, all the patients got upright and supine plain x-rays, an abdominal ultrasound, and a CT. So the patients and the clinicians weren't blinded, but the radiologists interpreting the ultrasound and the CT and the x-ray knew the clinical information, but they didn't know the results of the other imaging study. The gold standard for the study was the final diagnosis determined by an expert panel 6 months after they, got done with their ER visit. And what they found was that the clinical diagnosis alone was very sensitive, about 80%+ sensitive, and that sensitivity to detecting a serious problem wasn't changed a lot by imaging. I mean, when you're at 89%, 90%, you can improve it a little bit, but not a lot. So they were good at finding all of the people that had a clinically significant abdomen. Clinical exam and clinical diagnosis was not very specific, though, and what they found was that ultrasound, none of them improved specificity a lot, but ultrasound was probably the best of the lot in terms of improving specificity. Combining all of the results, the best strategy for ruling out urgent conditions was to do an ultrasound after the exam, to do an ultrasound in everybody, and then a CT if the ultrasound was negative or inconclusive. And this way you were able to identify 94% of the people with a clinically significant problem, and it decreased CT use by a lot. What was better than going directly to CT? Going directly to CT actually didn't improve accuracy, but certainly improved cost and radiation exposure.
So, Mark, let me see if I've got this right. What they're suggesting is that everybody who meets this criteria gets an ultrasound. If the ultrasound is negative, then they would go on and get a CAT scan. My concern is that if they're positive, chances are they're going to get a CAT scan anyways, because the surgeon or somebody's going to want a more definitive look at the abdomen. And if they're negative, everybody's going to get a CAT scan because the ultrasound was negative. So doesn't that mean that everybody's still going to be getting a CAT scan?
You're such a skeptic. Part of it depends a little bit on where this was done, and I think maybe American surgeons are more likely to want a scan no matter what before they operate, whereas in some other countries they may say, okay, clinically we think this is a bowel obstruction. We see bowel obstruction on an ultrasound. I'm going to operate for bowel obstruction. without necessarily radiating the patient. Certainly some of the things, you know, like similarly appendicitis. I mean, if they have good experience using ultrasound with appendicitis and, you know, the surgeon is likely to do surgery without it. Diverticulitis, you know, that's a more benign condition. They're probably going to treat it empirically for a while, maybe image if it's not improving. So I think a lot of these things probably, depending on the surgical staff, they would be comfortable either treating it based on the ultrasound or intervening at that point. You know, what do you think? Is that your experience in your institution, or do they want to scan no matter what?
Well, I'm at a academic institution here where I can't imagine the surgeons for almost mm-hmm. any one of the conditions you mentioned, except yeah. perhaps a diverticulosis, not wanting to have the anatomy yeah. Defined a little bit more conclusively than with an ultrasound. And yeah. part of that may be that I think surgeons, like general internists, including myself, are pretty uncomfortable with ultrasounds. It seems mm-hmm. I'm much more comfortable seeing and reading a CAT scan than I am an ultrasound.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if they're the same way, but anyways, it seems that maybe if the strategy, I'm convinced that it may decrease a bit the use of yeah. CAT scans.
Well, I think we've become so used to having all of that imaging that I think we maybe don't think twice about it. I mean, example I had just personally, two things that come to mind. One is a personal example where I tore my quadriceps tendon about a year ago, and surgery was scheduled for Monday morning, and, you know, it was pretty obvious clinically. You could even see the little bone chip about an inch and a half above where it ought to be, where the tendon had yanked out of my patella. And yet, I had an MRI Friday night, and I don't even know if you ever saw the MRI, but I had an MRI, and I kept asking, why are we doing an MRI? You know, well, we need that for surgery. Well, 10 years ago, would they have needed that? Was the repair any better because they had an MRI sitting somewhere? You know, I'm doubtful. I'm doubtful. And I think the other thing is that you're seeing pushback even from radiologists who are becoming concerned about all these CTs that we're doing in the ER, particularly of younger patients who are often the ones coming in with these abdominal pain problems, pelvic CTs, the radiation exposure. And the ER docs are getting concerned about it. It's often the surgeons that are perhaps, and I don't want to, you know, be too broad a brush here, but it may seem least concerned about the radiation exposure and of course, cost of all these CT scans.
Right.
And that's what I hear from the ER docs that I talk to. Is like, well, yeah, we'd like to order less, but the surgeons, as soon as they walk in the door, they order them anyway. So
right.
It's a losing battle.
Thank you, Mark. A very interesting discussion. We'll talk with you again next week.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.